Hey everyone, welcome to Nom Watch Review, part of the Nom Talk Network. On this show, we review the latest film drop or a throwback celebrating a milestone while eating and drinking our favorite movie snacks and drinks. Don't forget we have merch, which you can find in the About section on Twitch, or you can get the link by typing ooh, bang or exclamation point, if you're younger than me, merch in the chat. Note that subscribers to our Twitch channel get discounts. I'm your host, Jen Athey, and right now I'm enjoying something with absolutely zero caffeine because I've had too much. I'm having water, a terrible for me McDonald's cheeseburger because the opening scene of tonight's movie takes place in a greasy diner. Some Trader Joe's dill pickle chips because I'm obsessed, and a chocolate shake because I'm weak. So I would love to introduce my guests for today's stream. I have Ren and Alex. Ren, what are you snacking on today?
I just finished my Pocky.
Oh, it's okay. It's a quick snack.
Was a quick snack. I finished my Pocky. I have some water and I have some Confetto, which is like the Japanese sugar candies.
Ooh,
So I have that over here too.
that sounds so good. Awesome. Alex, how about you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I have a little mixture of sort of things here. Speaking of candies, we went to the lollipop store in the mall the other day, so I got a whole bunch of like chocolate, like movie theater style candies here. I got a couple soft shell tacos from Taco Bell. A shameless plug with a little bit of a Pepsi as well too. Ren, on those little sugar candies, are the ones that are kind of like the little crystal ones, like melt in your mouth, kind of very light and crunchy?
Yes,
Those are so delicious. Sorry,
they're
I didn't mean to
so
digress at
good.
all. They're so good. Sorry, I just heard it and I was like, ooh, my taste buds tingled. Anyway, yeah, that's what I'm happy with today.
Awesome. Welcome. Well, I feel better about my McDonald's, which I usually will only occasionally have breakfast, but I had, like I said, a weak moment. Also, where I live, not a lot of variety in restaurants for hamburgers. So you got to go with what you know. All right. Welcome, everybody. I'm so glad you guys are here tonight. Before we start, we are back to fundraising for the Trevor Project with a goal of $200. We are at 32% of our goal. So show some love and support by donating if you can. All right. So tonight's show, today, we're talking about, according to Peter Quill, the greatest movie in history. It never was. 1984's Footloose, celebrating its 40th anniversary this year.
Oh my God.
It's so exciting. Exciting for me because I stopped feeling old finally hearing what your anniversary movies are having. It used to be rough for me, but now I just roll with it. I saw this movie in the theater when it first came out. So now like I said, you just gotta roll with it. It's part of my childhood and I love it. Let's go ahead and start with some popcorn ratings. Alex, what did you give this movie?
4 out of 5. That it's one of these films that I will go into this a little later, but it's just the initial introduction. I was introduced to it, just the initial message behind the film and the longevity of the message and how it still holds up. So I give it a 4 out of 5.
Great. And Ren, how about you?
Also a solid 4 out of 5. Love the cinematography, love the soundtrack, and honestly, the message, like Alex said, still resonates today.
And yeah, you guys both said it great. I mean, for me, it's part of my childhood. I grew up with this movie. This year in 1984 was the year my sister was born. Sorry, Andrea. But I just outed your age. But so my parents tried everything to keep me busy and out of their hair. And a lot of that was here, watch a movie, or here, let's go to the movies. And this movie, I loved this movie. I loved the dancing. I had a big crush on Kevin Bacon, and I was 9. I didn't know any better. So, I mean, not that he's a great guy. So, but yeah, the music, right? The music is amazing. Let's Hear It for the Boy, I think, is probably just an iconic and fun song. Every song is a great dancing song. Probably for me, aside from Footloose, which we'll talk about all on its own because that song is just iconic, Holdin' Out for a Hero. I mean,
Yes,
oh, I
such a
love
good song.
such a just a classic rock song, and I will sing that song until I can't speak, it's
Same.
this movie has been remade. It has been made into a musical, but at the end of the day, the only version you should watch is the 1984 version. What do you guys think makes this soundtrack have such like staying power at, because I know I hear songs from it all the time.
All
What
the
do you
time.
think, Alex?
Oh, sorry. So I did
That's okay.
it. Realistically speaking, I mean, honestly, when it comes to like, I think that's the best way to say this. When you typically get to a movie and a soundtrack, I think the hardest part is delivering a message. And I think what really works really well with the film is it actually works with the film here. I mean, considering the fact that there's a major message, I'm not saying every single song develops around, rebellion and so forth as well, but it deals well with the emotion. I mean, you're looking at, once again, Footloose, a hero being ridiculously too big earbuds, whether you like it or not. Like, I mean, I remember one time I actually worked at Ruby Tuesdays for like 8 years of my life. This film came out in 84. I was born in 86. I didn't see it until like TNT, kind of era wise. But all these, the soundtrack was like something that was iconic, especially in a workplace. Those are songs that, that were there that for some odd reason were, I say for some odd reason because here I am, talking about earbuds, transcend how old this film is. And the great thing about it is that these songs, I would say, not only were what. There's certain things when you look at lyrics and you're like, this is goofy as hell. But I mean, if you look at it, once again, you look at these here, you're just like, dang, these lyrics are kind of just, I want to say, I hate to say it. It's just, once again, they're timeless lyrics in my opinion. So yeah, that's where I stand at the end.
And how about for you, Rem?
For me, it's nostalgic. I haven't seen the movie before, so today was actually my first time seeing it. But for me, it brought me back to my parents' cassette tape from they used to listen to it all the time. So for me, hearing the soundtrack, it made me connect a lot with that. But on its own, I think what Alex says resonates so deeply because it does go along with the story as well. It supports the story and kind of cements like the moments and times. Like for me, the song when they say the song Heroes, when they do the trucks, I'm like, who's gonna win? Who's gonna win? I was like, we need a hero.
Yeah.
It was so perfect. I was like, yes. So yeah, I
Yeah.
have to agree that the music does support the plot and just kind of enhances the moment for me. It's so good.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a few filmmakers now that still have that ability to use music that way. Edgar Wright is one of them. But in the 80s, they just were able to really match the music to tell the story or get a song written to match. I mean, obviously, that's what happened here, right? There is a song in this movie, Footloose. I was telling them before we started, if that song comes on, if we're at a wedding, a party, wherever, a different Jen comes out. I will dance like I am 16 again when that song comes on. I will regret it the next day, but I will do it. And it's just such a fun song. And there's still, I will dance the same way. There is a part where it gets quieter and you have to get down, down, down and squat all the way down to the ground. And then when it gets loud again, you jump up. I taught my daughter this dance at my sister's wedding, like the whole nine yards. Like it's just iconic. And I even convinced my boyfriend we needed to see Kenny Loggins live on his farewell tour so I could dance live to Footloose. And as a bonus, we got Heaven Help Me, I'm Free, which is also in the soundtrack, which is also by Kenny Loggins. But also, he's just
Lots of
iconic.
Kenny Loggins.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's great.
He's great. He's
He's the
great.
House at Pooh Corner and Danger Zone. Danger Zone.
Oh man,
So,
that's
yeah.
childhood. Damn.
I know, I know. And ironically enough, Tom Cruise was considered for the lead in this movie, which I cannot
Was he
picture.
really?
Yeah, I can't picture that at all.
Well, I'm like kind of glad it never happened.
He's been
Oh.
considered for a lot of movies. I'm glad he wasn't in. So, just saying, I'm not a fan, not a fan.
No, hey, but not
Yeah,
bad.
not a fan. So this was your first time ever seeing the movie, Ren, and you
Yes.
said, but you have that nostalgia going back to the cassette tape, which I also had. How does that like kind of connect back? Like, do you feel that it holds up to being a 40-year-old movie?
Like plot-wise or
I
story-wise?
mean, plot the plot, I mean, and we'll get into the plot here in a little bit. Anything,
I think it
I
still
watched
holds
it
up.
recently too, but not as recent as you. So yeah.
No, yeah, like as for someone who just watched today, I think it still holds up. Like the messaging is still very much relevant today. I think there is still a lot of communities that are afraid of dancing or like that get dancing, music, drugs, alcohol, that kind of stuff. And they kind of have like this very puritanical idea of like what dancing could possibly do. And then obviously like the burning of the books, that's still very relevant today.
Oh, yeah.
Censorship and all these other things of what is a community supposed to do to keep our children safe? That kind of idea, that is still happening today. But yeah, and then also just the classic story of just teenagers just want to be free and they want to rebel and, do their own thing without their parents breathing down their necks. So I think that's still relevant in any generation.
Definitely, for sure. So the long and short of this is we have Ren McCormick, not to be confused with Ren here on the panel, played by Kevin Bacon, who we all are 6 degrees from, apparently. And he, a very young Kevin Bacon with a mullet, if I remember correctly, or close to it,
Close.
he is a Chicago native who has to move to a small town and live with his aunt and uncle with his mom. And this town is full of lots of Hollywood superstars. No. he meets the reverend of the town. He meets the reverend's wife and their daughter Ariel, who he of course immediately is like, "Oh, hey, how are you?" He meets his new friend at school, Willard, who is played by Chris Penn, who I love Willard. He's such a great character, and the
The
scene
way
where
they
he's
became
teaching
friends is so funny.
Yes. And then when he's teaching him how to dance, I love that
So
scene.
cute.
It's so cute. And so, of course, this town, the town council has banned dancing and rock music within the town boundaries, which that sounds terrible. Ren has that wants nothing to do with that because he loves music and she can see his feet behind me. He loves to dance. So, this is not his favorite place to be. I mean, I'm sure moving to a new town, we've done it. If you've ever done it, it's terrible. I never had to do it as a teenager, thankfully, but I have had to do it and it's not fun. I live in a small town, but we're allowed to listen to music up here at least. So you mentioned the chicken scene with the holding out for a hero with the tractors. Yeah, that's a fun scene. Everything in this movie, even the stuff where it's like, oh man, this town must be so boring. It's really not. I mean, I would still probably have fun there. Of course, they don't trust Ren. He's the outsider. He's the city boy from Chicago. And, he takes the kids to go dancing at a bar in another town. Ren, Ren, Ren. How terrible. So, obviously, shenanigans ensue. And the movie, let's face it, it's predictable. You can see where this movie's going from jump. Right, you know what's going to happen, but you still kind of go along with it. And the cast is great, right? John Lithgow, Diane Wiest plays the mom Vi, and I was looking at the cast list, and I was like, oh God, some of these people, I don't even know. That's how old this movie is. But what did you guys think of the casting? Like, are you familiar with some of these actors? Have you seen some of their stuff? Like, as they've really grown as actors, obviously, because this is 40 years old. Some of these people, they were just starting out. But
Yeah.
John Lithgow, I mean, he was already established as an actor, and Diane Wiest. What did you guys think of the casting of this movie? How do you think everybody played together, Alex, in this movie?
Honestly, I was surprised by that cast. I mean, you're looking at like Kevin Bacon, Laurie Singer. Laurie Singer is a little familiar with, but more like Chris Penn, Sarah Jessica Parker. That rang a bell. I really just recently watched the film, so a lot of things were just hitting me. But I mean, honestly, I think both Diane Wiest and John Lithgow play ridiculously well in their part. And the crazy thing is that the ability that a lot of these cast had to be the quote unquote villain, yet the good guys or understanding opposing force. It was actually a really great, I think what seemed to what this cast was able to do was reflect the true villain to be the actual idea and not them per se. So, because like if you looked at like John Lithgow or even looked at like the temporary thing within 10 seconds, Chris Penn, which played he was his character Willard, he played the opposing force within 30 seconds of the film, and it showed how Ren, was being very political at that time being, and how well that was great to be betrayal, you know, betray, you know, how portrayed. Wow, sorry, how it was actually played out within the actual scene there in general. But I just think the cast was excellent in general.
How about for you, Ren?
I think I have to agree. All the cast was pretty great. I still am kind of stuck on the idea that Tom Cruise was gonna be Ren. I'm like, I
Or
can't see
Rob
that.
Lowe, he was also considered. I can see Rob Lowe a
Really?
little more than Tom
I could kind of
Cruise.
see it. Yeah.
I mean,
But
Tom
yeah,
Cruise
no, it's like I'm
with
just like
like with
Tom
tell
Cruise.
like he's done a couple of like the bartender films and stuff like that. So that's, I could see a little bit there, but Ran, good point. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
No, you're good. I'm still kind of stuck on that too. But I think they did a great job with casting overall. It didn't, and I think maybe it's just me, but I didn't even know or recognize some of the actors, even though they're big stars now. Like watching it, I was like, oh, that's Sarah Jessica Parker? What? I had to like dig a double take. I was like, oh wow, they were so young. But also I think they were so in their character that I didn't recognize them as the stars that they are now. And it I think that made the story a lot more like what's the word? Relatable. Because I wasn't focused on like, oh yeah, that's that actress. It's oh, they're playing this character. So I think they did a great job.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And you know, we find out that to your point, Alex, they're not the villains. They're just protective parents, right? And we find out it's because Ariel, played by Laurie Singer, their daughter, had a brother who was killed in a drunk driving accident. So naturally they're going to be protective. But they sort of overreact, I feel. Maybe overreact a little by banning dancing, drinking, music. All, well, I mean, no, they're in high school. These kids should not be drinking. Sorry, let's disclaimer, 21 is the drinking age in the state of California, in the whole United States. Yes. so of course, I listened to that when I was in college. But you know, they have their reasons. But you know, you have this fine line of protective, and then what we now, I guess, would call like a helicopter parent, I think is what they call it nowadays. I just called it, you know, overbearing or overprotective. I tried not to be that parent. My children are not here to weigh in. So, you know, they seem to be well adjusted. Yeah, it's, you got to give kids that freedom, right? But there's, you know, the Ren really gets these kids worked up and, they, you know, they want to dance, and he teaches Willard to dance, and like I maintain my favorite one of my favorite scenes in the whole movie because it's just so cute. But I just lost my train of thought. There we go. Okay, sorry guys. Told you I had too much caffeine. The train gets going too fast. It was my work from home day. I like to try and incorporate chores into my working from home on my breaks, and so
I
I'm
get
like,
that.
oh, I'm over caffeinate. But yeah, so he, you know, he Ren drives Willard, Ariel, and their friend Rusty, who is Sarah, you know, played by Sarah Jessica Parker, who I want to say her first film was a little Disney movie called Flight of the Navigator, which I also saw in the theater, which might have been 1983. Great movie. It's a really fun movie if you can stand scary alien puppets, or creepy rather. So they go to this bar and Willard can't dance, but has a crush on Rusty. And this is before he gets taught how to dance. And he gets into a fight with a guy who can dance and is dancing with Rusty. Now, let's face it, that kind of dancing is not that hard. This is where they find out about her older brother dying in a car accident. And then things get a little heated when someone throws a brick through a window where Ren is staying with the words burn in hell on it. And his uncle gets mad at him and says, you know, this is because of how you're behaving. And his aunt, or Ethel tells Ren it, his actions have cost her job now. So, you know, things aren't going great for Ren, but he should still stand up for what he believes in. So what do you guys think? You know, this isn't going well for him and his family, but he's still going to do what he thinks is right. And at the end of the day, it's kind of funny because is this really about dancing, or is this about something a little bigger than that? You know, at the so what do you think, Ren? I mean, obviously it's packaged a certain way, but
Oh yeah.
yeah, what do you think like the underlying message is here?
In that particular scene or just like in general?
Just in general for the movie.
Therapy is good.
No, this was 1984. No. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Therapy's always been good, but not in
Is always
1980.
good. I think that's good. Don't drink and drive. That's a big one, you know. Also, maybe don't throw bricks in people's windows. That's kind of rude. That's weird. That's my big take. Also, stop burning books.
Nom Talk in the chat has redeemed Hydrate.
Hey,
So I've got my water too, so
hydrate.
hydrate.
Hydrate, don't
So, I mean,
dehydrate.
that's the simplified version. I think in general, people can really manipulate a certain situation and kind of take it farther than they have to in a way to manipulate for their own needs and not so much for the community. And you can kind of see that how some particular people in the community are like, this is not how we want it. And you didn't support us, Reverend. How dare you? Let us take care of this and, you know, burn books and we'll decide what's best for the community. And who knows what their end goal was, but we know it's not actually for the community and it's more for them. And then even the Reverend himself, like his daughter mentions that like he got caught up in the whole situation, which yes, it did originate with good intentions because his son died, but did that eventually kind of more feed into his ego and eventually more into showmanship, as she mentions in the church at one point. She's like, this is just a show. You put on a costume, you recite your lines, you're putting on a show. It's not so much that you're doing this for your family or for me even more. It's like you're not being a good father. You're just here, right? It's who are you doing this for? So it really comes down to is like it can come from a source of good, but sometimes that emotional moment can be manipulated and taken advantage of for something or more personal gain.
Absolutely. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, in general, we are talking about the message, right? Okay, because I want to make sure we're on the same thing here.
You're
But
good.
no, okay, no, we're great, we're great. And by the way, Ren, well delivered. I just want to make sure I had the thought process here. But as Ren said before, the crazy thing is that the dancing, believe it or not, of Footloose is like seems to be the very small part of this whole film. Even though that is the highlight of it, it's the bigger image, bigger message is the one the love from the parents they have for the town, but how that seemed to be morphed into a much more extreme thing, and kind of not really, missing a bigger point by trying to close and be such a hard ass on a smaller one, so to speak. And I think this film honestly is still good from night, from 19 was it 84 to now, because the fact that you could tell that the Ren mentioned this before. That John Lithgow, your reverend, he mentioned before that, hey, look, I initially the message that I had was because the loss of my son, but now that I'm seeing it, and you kind of see it in the very beginning. You initially see what's going on, his daughter dancing in the very beginning of this little sock hop like restaurant area. My only complaint about that scene, for the record, is the fact that this radio somehow reached the whole freaking thing, like the kitchen in the back. The bathroom, the
Everyone has
car,
access.
everybody was like dancing and stuff. And I was like, how the hell does he hear this shit 300 feet away? I have a hard time hearing my own radio in my damn apartment. We have like shit. But anyway, the point of that, in the fact that, in that scene, you could see him that he was frightened, but not disappointed per se. Even the arguments he had a little later on was like, I'm not always going to be there for you. I'm trying to protect you. And once again, it was always about a protect kind of concept. And I think what makes this film so freaking strong is you can literally replace. And do I think Footloose would be the same at all if it wasn't about dancing? Not per se. I wouldn't think it'd be as iconic, but we wouldn't get those scenes, considering the fact that we have, the whole I need to dance when I'm angry scene. I mean, I'm being honest, as goofy as you want to make it seem, as goofy as you want to like hammer at this thing, it still holds strong. Like, you see Nancy, like, I want to go run and hang on things and go do loops, which I find hilarious. On one of the scenes, you can see him jump, hang on to the bar. And ironically, you can see whoever's on the bar, which, forgive me wrong if it's actually him, he's actually wearing like gloves from doing the Olympic things. And all of a sudden, he's like not wearing gloves. I'm like, all right. Anyway, but I do think the message in general is the fact that yes, you might have loves for something that might be so strong, but be careful how tight that grip necessarily is. And then also, it doesn't have to be necessarily the love issue. I mean, I think you can switch this around from coming into a much deeper message. Right now, it's literally dancing, but realistically speaking, it could be anything in regards to individual representation of who you are as an individual, what you like doing out there, who do you love individually. And but the point is though, is that initially, what it is how what's the true fear? The fact that someone died, because it was something over the top. And I think they needed to find a goat or needed to find a villain. And to them, villain was dancing and music. That was a villain at the time being, because it was unfamiliar. It was something that seemed to be easy to represent and not take responsibility for, you know. So I do think the message in general was still strong and still can be kind of manipulated and modernized nowadays. But yeah, still pretty good, strong and true.
Yeah, and it was interesting to see over the course of the movie how they went, like they saw where we're protecting our daughter, and they could see as the movie dragged on, well, maybe we're actually alienating her by doing this. We're overprotecting her. So after the brick's thrown through his window, and with Ariel's help, Ren actually goes before the town council to try to get this law revoked, the anti-dancing law. He actually uses the Bible, which they are using as their justification to not have the dancing and the music in the town because, you know, it's debauchery and all that. And he cites scriptural significance of dancing as a way to rejoice and to celebrate. And you know, there's and it's funny because growing up, I did spend time in with a religious background, and the Lord of the Dance, the Irish dance show. The song at the heart of that is actually a Catholic hymn. Part of the dance is a Catholic hymn. So yes, dancing is actually a part of religion, and music is a part of religion. So he kind of turns their own words back on them in a way, which is just brilliant. It's a brilliant argument for a 17-year-old who was probably like 25, really. But you know, in the 80s when all the high schoolers were 30. And you know, it gets to the reverend, but he still, you know, he can't get the council to go for it. But his wife, because it's always the wife, I love Diane Wiest because I love her in this, and I also love her in The Birdcage. She's so good in The Birdcage. Just she's always great as the quiet wife who's just the voice of reason, and then when she gets her moment and she just bah! I just love her. And you know, she tells the Reverend that he can't be everyone's father, and he's not even really being one to Ariel right now, the way he's acting, which is, you know, it's a really powerful moment. So then, you know, there's further discussion with Ren about the family losses that he's suffered. And then Ariel tells her dad that she's not a virgin, which not really sure why Ariel needed to go there with her dad. I mean, I Of all the things you're gonna tell your dad, oh, Eric Heartless, our buddy, is in the chat, and he has redeemed sing mode,
Oh, fuck. Oh, God damn
and he says, "Sing,
it.
my lovely, sing." So that I think is gonna be all of us. So, oh God, I have to sing about Ariel's virginity. Let's see here, where.
Eric, I
So,
love you and I hate you at the same time.
oh, give me a second to get the notes in my head. Reverend Moore still doesn't want to cut foot loose. The next day, he goes to church and they're burning books, library books, saying they endanger the youth. just reading, singing Wikipedia. It's our new show, guys. Welcome. So Ren,
Oh,
you should have seen the Les Mis one. This is crazy.
oh my God. Oh, I'm crying.
the situation gets out of control.
Didn't know that was a thing we could do.
Like the fifth one I've been on where that's been redeemed. Shit.
Oh, I love this. Okay.
Oh, we love it. I do love it. It's fun though, you know, it's
No,
fine.
yeah, that was
I always
great.
tell myself I never have to see these people again. It's a lie I tell myself. No. So I think this is a tipping point for the Reverend, right? He now sees he's created a monster of a town. And the students want to have their own prom, and now they have a new backer, the Reverend. So I'm gonna pass it to one of my lovely co-singers here,
Technically, yes.
Alex. So the Reverend is now pro prom for these kids and asks everyone to pray for them.
Oh, no.
So,
What's the question?
I'm
No,
trying to think of one that's gonna have a song for an
oh,
answer. You know what? Let's sing about the cinematography because Ren did
oh,
mention that
shit.
earlier. This movie is shot very
Something I
beautifully.
know about. God dang it.
Sing about whatever you like.
Cinematography. Oh my God. Okay, so I did the singing thing. All right. So we were talking about he's very pro prom, right? All right. So I am
Yes.
singing. I am singing a song. So the Reverend's very pro prom, and he was very thoughtful. And oh my God, let's see here. I gotta find a tune. This is ridiculous. Gotta find a tune. I was
Dun,
gonna go to
dun,
foot, but it's like
dun,
gotta
dun,
find
dun, dun.
the Reverend went to pro prom. Pro prom. And Ren had a really cool mom. Hey, yeah. Okay. But honestly, that's like the most you're gonna get from me at this moment.
I'll take it.
But realistically speaking, oh my God, Lord. At this point, I know we've seen that, you know, you see that he's actually have a turning point. And I wanna say that he is that perfect example of the people that we have out there that ultimately know what's right. And even though they might have a scary thought about what the next step in the future is, that if they just get guided in the right direction, they'd understand and be pro for it, you know? And I really, really, you know, being, you know, seeing the fact that he was very pro prom to start with, it was kind of a push. Oh, you have his wife. Oh my God, you have said it repetitively. Both of you guys have said this. You know, when it comes to Diane Weist, she is always that quiet, like, voice of badass understanding. Like, she's not going to yell at you until you really mess up. And if she's going to make a point, she's going to smile at you the whole time and pat you on the back and let you know that she's going to kick your ass if you don't agree with her. And realistically speaking, it's just great. I love how, you know, how she was consistently, you know, being there. And you kind of see, realistically speaking, where Ariel gets her like fiery, you know, persona from both of her parents. And, you know, when it comes to films in the 80s and 90s, we weren't always given the perfect character explanation of all the characters we understand. We always had to assume what's going on with a lot of assumptions. And in this very short film, I'd say it's an hour and 47 minutes, it's not really super short, but you know, short for one nowadays, you actually see the fact that, okay, cool. Ariel's a good character because of, you know, both of, you know, both, I'm sorry, Reverend and V-more, I guess are the parents' names. Which I want to mention, the beginning of this film almost felt like it was about to be a Stephen King feature for a whole second when I rewatched it, because the whole point where like Ariel was on the between the cars driving in the middle of the highway right in front of that semi truck, I literally thought she was gonna die. I don't remember that at all. I rewatched this film about 3 hours ago, and I sat there going, am I watching the right film? Did I forget what was going on? I did not expect that in any way, shape, or form. But I digress. That being said, we're at the prom dance agreement and so forth as well. I do think that was a really great scene in which you see both Reverend and V standing across the field with the, you know, looking into the area where Ren and the rest of the group has gotten the dance to get all set up for. Which I want to mention this too as well. Yes, I know there's one or two, but I have not seen very many films of Chris Penn being the good guy. So seeing him
Ever.
actually, you know, coming out, you know, learning how to dance and be what's going on, I was like, you know, this is kind of refreshing because typically he's usually killing somebody or being a really, really, really nasty individual nowadays. So that was kind of refresher. But once again, I digress. So once I thought, you know, I thought the point with the prom, there was a nice little conversion of understanding where the misunderstanding was, the agreement. And once again, I can't help but continuing to like this movie. There's a lot of movies that you'll see come out and then you're like, okay, cool, that's great. You know, I'm sure this, you know, this message, I it was nostalgic for me. It's not the same, but rewatching it again today and the acting and what's going on, I don't really see anything wrong with it. The only thing I really disagree with more is the intention. You do see that, you know, women do stand in the background. You do see, you know, the fight of, you know, Ariel showing, you know, I'm a strong independent woman like me kind of deal. I'll disagree with certain things here and there, but re regardless of that, you know, being the what it was during that time, I'd still think it's, you know, transcending pretty well. Sorry.
That's okay. No, that's great. I have a couple of comments from the chat. Cue Ball's in the chat. I haven't seen Cue Ball personally for a while, so I was excited to see that. And See, cue ball. I had some store-bought chicken and mashed potatoes and is drinking some cherry RC cola, which sounds delicious.
Ooh.
Q gave this movie a rating of 5 out of 5. The story still stands out and is relevant. And as a musician, the soundtrack was a badass soundtrack. I mean,
Yeah.
Kenny Loggins doing the theme song is the cherry on top. Absolutely. It's probably one of my all-time favorite songs. And Q sings this song for karaoke. But it
Nice.
was Eric that redeemed Sing. And he gave us hearts and applause for that and said bravo. Cubal has a joke for us. What's
Okay.
Michael Jackson's favorite fast food? Don't look at the
What?
chat, Alex. That's cheating. No.
I'm looking at you.
Okay.
I'm
KFC.
not.
And Cuba also redeemed Hydrate for us. So,
Okay, all
hi, Jay,
right.
don't hydrate.
Yeah,
Hydrate.
I can do a lot of things. I can sing about Footloose. I can't do a Michael Jackson impression. I did not do that
KFC.
so
You did
well. So,
that pretty well though. You did that KFC.
there we go. Maybe that a little
Solid.
better by itself. And to your Stephen King thing, that actually made me laugh because when I was looking up stuff about this movie, one of the reasons that they were looking at other people for the part is Kevin Bacon was actually in auditions to be in Christine at the time.
Oh.
So, and then Christopher Atkins, who was in a little show called The Greatest American Hero. Okay, I'm the only one who remembers
Hey, no, I
that.
got you. I
No, it's
got
a
you.
great song. And that's talking about great songs. Believe it or not, what was it? Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so
Oh
free.
my goodness, it's been a
Fly
while.
away. Yeah. He was actually cast. He claims he was cast in the lead in this movie, but lost the part. Who knows if that's true or not? Oh, Q's got another. He's got something else for us. Let's see. Nobody has to sing, I promise. Unless Ren, you really want to? No, okay.
I will try if you want me to.
If you think about it, this movie deals with conformity and censorship. In a way, also at the time, the parents wanted to censor rock and metal albums, yes. And the warning stickers were all they wanted, and they wanted to protect him from harm from rock music. And those albums sold more with stickers than the albums back then. And that's true. This was also when the Satanic Panic was going on, and parents were taking away Dungeons and Dragons books. That actually
Yeah.
happened to my partner. He just got his Dungeons and Dragons books back from his dad last year. His dad was like,
What?
"Oh, I found these in the garage," and mailed them back to him.
Oh my
They took them
God.
away in the 80s because some kid somewhere in the middle of America who wore a trench coat and an AC/DC t-shirt had done something bad, and of course it was the music and the Dungeons and Dragons. And so they took them away in 1980 something. Kid you not. Oh yeah.
It's
Yeah,
kind of like the
so
90s Pokemon. It's all gambling and
oh
money.
God, yeah. Jesus
Well,
Christ.
with probably less murder than the Satanic Panic, I would imagine. The
I
Satanic
know.
Panic was a whole thing. If you
Oh
ever want to go down a
no.
true crime rabbit hole,
The Satanic Panic.
no.
You know, that sounds like an excellent album release, The Satanic Panic.
I'm sure there is one called that, but yeah, circle back with me after the show and I can give you some cases to look up that are directly related to it that are just heartbreaking. So,
Oh, not to laugh at that, my bad.
yeah,
Anyway.
no. The irony of it. So, some other names that were actually attached to this movie for Ariel, Madonna.
Wait, hold on. Okay.
Damn.
That
Okay.
movie would have
Okay.
been a whole other movie.
Different.
That would have been a
That'd be
very different
different.
movie. It wouldn't be dancing, a lot of singing.
Yeah,
Oh
Valerie
my
Bertinelli,
God.
which I don't see. I love her. She's great. But I don't see Valerie Bertinelli as Ariel. Jennifer Jason Leigh, who probably would have done a great job. She would have been coming off of Fast Times at Ridgemont High back then, which I think was 1982. Huge movie back then. So, she had a big name back then. She's got such a great career. I mean, her career has been pretty strong throughout the years. I think she's still acting today, So, I think she would have been a good choice, and probably I would put her on par with Laurie Singer as far as able to pull off the role of Ariel. Cue ball says Madonna. Yeah, that's what
Yeah.
we'd say.
I was like,
I
what?
can't see that at all.
The movie would be looked at very differently.
And Alex, you said you saw the tape when he did this. And this is actually something that I just for some reason know. I don't know where I found it out. I've known it for a long time. The guy who was Kevin Bacon's dance double in this, because it was not him doing most of the dancing, he was actually married. There was another movie around the same time called Flashdance,
Oh,
very popular movie.
I've heard of this movie.
Fun movie. They spoofed it in the Super Bowl commercials, actually, with Jason Momoa and then the two guys from Scrubs. And they were married at the time. His dancing double and Jennifer Beals' dancing double were actually married at the time. So it's just
That's
random. If you ever
cool.
need random 80s movie trivia, you come find me. That and true crime, I'm your girl. So Tom Cruise did not get the role because they interviewed him or auditioned him for the role because of his underwear scene in Risky Business, where he went, what's that song? Dun, dun, da, 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 just take those old records. He already had the dancing chops, right? In his underwear, no less. No, that doesn't make him right for this movie. I don't think they could have cast it any better than they did with, for me, not with the main characters, at least. But if you notice in the prom scene, Rusty's not there because the prom scene was actually filmed much later than the rest of the movie, and Sarah Jessica Parker was unavailable. So that's why Rusty is not at the prom, unfortunately. But yeah, that prom scene, the kids get their way, right? They get their prom over the county line in an old grain mill, which seems so safe. 9-year-old me was like, I want to plan a prom. This looks great. Then I actually
Tetanus,
planned a prom in high
tetanus.
school. Not great. Not fun. Not enjoyable. But they got to have, well, actually it says Rusty was there, but I'm pretty sure I remember somewhere years ago reading she wasn't actually bit there for the filming of some scenes. But Chuck shows up, Chuck of the chicken tractor scene.
Chuck.
The idea of playing chicken on a tractor.
Chuck. Chuck.
Just the name, Chuck. I call my cat Chuck sometimes because his name is Charlie, but he can be a Chuck sometimes, let me tell you. No.
Chuck.
The kids are going to have their fun night. Chuck shows up. He tries to ruin it, but they attack Willard. Why Willard? Leave poor Willard alone. He just learned how to dance. God.
He's just chilling.
Ren, of course, arrives, saves the day, knocks Chuck out like we all want to do. And they get to dance the night away with these glittery, shiny. It made prom look so
So
cool and
fancy.
fun. Plus, that was the fact that it was a little forbidden to 9-year-old me. I was like, yeah. I may have been 8 at the time.
Show
Either
it to
way.
the man.
Yeah, I
Gonna
was like, heck yeah, I'm gonna be a teenager and be so grown up.
have my prom.
Wasn't that way, but it's okay. My dress was better. No. But no, I think if this is a great example of like the 80s were just such a time for like, you don't get these kind of high school movies, teenage movies, Breakfast Club, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Like the 80s was just such a time for this kind of movie. So they remade this movie. I have not seen the remake. I don't know if either of you have.
No.
Alex, that face tells me maybe you have.
I'm not trying to be a hater. It's not it's okay. Yeah, I would still watch it. I was happy I didn't see it in theater, so
That's
let's
fair.
put it that way. Realistically speaking, it's not bad. I can't hate too much of it. I have to rewatch it again because sometimes when you re when you see a movie and you're not as open-minded about it initially going into it, you don't always give it true justice. So I might have to give it a go around before I go like, ah, screw that movie. I like the original. Get off my lawn. So I don't want to do that kind of thing yet. So
That's fair. I mean, I looked at the cast. Just I was considering trying to watch it just for comparison's sake, but then I was like, I don't want to do that. They cast like a dancer as Ariel, Julianne Hough. She's Dancing with the Stars, like a legit dancer. Miles Teller is in it. Some guy I've never heard of plays Ren. But for I'm looking at the whole cast here, and I'm like, they tried to kind of do what they did with the Footloose back then. Is there's some really well-known people, but then some not so well-known people. So I see what they did there. Dennis Quaid is in it, Andie MacDowell. So a decent cast, strong cast for the most part, except I don't know who this guy that plays Ren is. For some reason, I had it in my head that Zac Efron was in it, and that's why I wanted to watch it, but now I don't really want to watch it that much.
Ah.
Would have preferred that. He's far too young. So I think that the kids got their happy ending and they got their prom. So it was a satisfying ending to the movie. It's still definitely a four popcorn movie for me. It doesn't, there's flaws in it. It's a little formulaic, but it was the 80s, right? I wish it's one of those movies though, I will say. Do you have those movies where you wish you could go back and see it again for the first time? Like this movie is one of those for me, probably just so I could hear that song again for the first time. As far as food and drinks in the movie, none of it really stuck out for me as memorable, other than like the diner scene, of course, where they're dancing, like you said, with the impossible range of that song.
Literally the radio. Oh my God. It was like, I was like, how? At first, I thought like it was her. I was like, all right, cool. She's about to jam out with people. And all of a sudden, I was like, 16 cars down, this other person jammed out to the same song. I was like, what's going on? You guys said it was a tape deck. This wasn't the radio. So, anyway, sorry.
I mean, I think that's one of those like movie magic, suspend your disbelief things that happened. It's the magic of small towns.
Exactly.
The pacing on the story, like you mentioned, Alex, it's not a very long movie, but it's not a complicated story either. Ren, do you feel that they used the pacing correctly and just told the story with, is a simple story, right?
Yeah, it's a very simple story. I think they did a pretty good job with the pacing, at least the storytelling and the reveal of like, oh, why like the brother died and like why the reason the whole community's up in arms of like why they are so protective of their children. The introduction of Kevin Bacon's character Ren is also very interesting, and just the way people develop friendships is very interesting in this movie. But I enjoyed it. It was really fun. And I think it wraps up nicely as well. So pretty good pacing.
Yeah. How about for you, Alex?
No, pacing was great. I mean, initially there is, I guess I say it is short for nowadays with films, but then again, our expectations have been kind of like crisscross because we're on a social media concept where we expect things to be 30 seconds or less. Then if it's better, then our expectations go at 5 minutes or less. It's even more than we're 15 minutes or less. An average film nowadays has to be, if it's not 2 hours, it's not long enough. So realistically speaking, I'd say it's short for, I guess, for now, what I'm thinking. And I guess what it also could be, considering an hour and 47 minutes, that they got the message through pretty fast and pretty quickly. Like the introduction of the film was straightforward. Small town, here is an introduction to a hero that you may not know who he is, what he does. They do a really good job in taking him and making him humble. The only thing I always disagree with this is when homegirl, what's her name, Ariel gets hit in the face and that fight that's going on. I
Chuck.
do, yeah. Well, see, yeah, exactly. See, here's the funny thing about this. You could tell Hollywood and directors did this on purpose because the way it happened, and this is even for the 80s. I mean, at the time being, what we're talking about here is, ridiculous. You'll never hit a woman, which I agree. That there's this really rare expectations. We won't go into that. But the point is the it just no violence in general should be the greatest concept here. But the fact that you could see how they made it set up where he made the ridiculously vulgar comment, right? And she turned around and just not slapped him, but punched him. And then he ran around and did the slap and then did the extreme going back and forth. I don't know how I felt about it. I don't know if it was just to signify how much of a douchebag he was. I'm not too sure in general, but the whole concept was, I was like, I don't know what the whole point of that thing was. I mean, really, realistically speaking, was that scene actually needed? And it was a better, ending concept, or it could be highlighting the fact that he was a toxic asshole, which that could be very valid. But anyway, that being said, I digress. The pacing was pretty fast, and I might be could it could be, or the pacing of the introduction or the plot of the film was so fast that might be the reason why I thought it was shorter than it was. So because now I'm thinking about an hour and 47 minutes was pretty decently long. Once again, I do believe that there didn't seem to be a lost message. It always seemed like there was a step forward in the direction, whether it was training their friend how to dance, it was still moving forward towards the ultimate dance. Whether it was fighting against the local community, bringing up the fact that dancing's not a sin, it once again was leading up to the dance. Same thing in which he was talking about, wanting to get a kiss from him, trying to get a date with him. Everything was ultimately leading to the ultimate goal of showing that, hey, dancing, it should be just natural in general. So I do think the ultimate pacing was excellent. The message is great. The only unneeded scene that I mentioned before, but once again, it does highlight the fact that he is a douchebag. He comes back, what, once or twice just to highlight that same factor. You mentioned before he came by to fight,
The
fight.
wound.
Exactly. So I mean, like I said, it's I get that there too as well. So, I mean, maybe, I think about it, he could be that perfect highlight of toxic masculinity and what we wanted to avoid the whole film. Because now I think about it, he really was the truly only villain that really didn't have a like a heart, I guess, against compared to other people and stuff like that. So, but anyway, I digress. Once again, I think the pacing was ultimately pretty good.
Awesome. Cue ball chimed in with, also, it wasn't a boring ass movie. It has a relevant story, and the music is so endearing to us. Every song is memorable. But how about Phoebe Cates from Gremlins? Would she would be a good Ariel? She was his first movie crush. I
Ooh.
That's right, man.
think she would have made a good Ariel. Or is she, yeah, she was pretty tough in Gremlins. She had to be.
But
Those things
wait,
were
speaking of
vicious.
Gremlins, wasn't his mom also in Gremlins then?
Was I?
Was she the mother of the main hero in Gremlins, I think? Well, we don't have to search this up because I don't want to like waste time too much. But I
Yeah.
because I ultimately because we were looking up, actors, actresses. I the one that played his mother, Ren's mother, was the was actually now I'm kind of
I haven't
curious. But
seen
anyway,
Gremlins in a million years. Cue ball has also redeemed talk in third person.
oh, son of a
Well, I don't know. You and I saying, Alex.
bitch. Dun dun
Stop.
dun.
Ren, you mentioned that the cinematography was great. Some of the dance scenes, I think they did a great job shooting those. Would you like to tell us in third person what you thought of the cinematography?
Red thinks that the was great. Red also thinks that some of the favorite scenes were the intro, where you were held hostage for all the names and things, was great. I kind of missed, oh, Ren kind of misses though. The little feet dancing. What else did Ren like? Ren also liked that the main character's name was Ren, so it made them very biased as to who was their favorite character.
Alex would like to mention, Alex would love to listen to Ren speak in third person quite often. This is great.
Third, no, I'm kidding. Or first person. Kidding. Don't do that. You don't have to
You like Elmo.
Yes, I was thinking the same thing.
find that out, the out Alex, who that was? I'm trying to
Oh,
remember.
but right now I'm looking at the moment. I'm getting there. Let's see here. Oh, goodness
That's
gracious. I
great,
just
Ren.
had it.
Thank
That's
you
gonna
for
bug
being
the heck out of
support
me.
with that.
Oh, here we go. Let's see here. There's additionally more of you all.
They're hitting us with all of them tonight.
I
I
know, right?
can't.
Hydrate. Oh my goodness.
I think with Chuck too, while Alex is looking that up,
Oh,
another staple of 80s
Chuck.
movies is that bully guy. And I think that was Chuck. They were just like, oh, we need this guy.
We
Here's
need the
Chuck.
bully.
We need the bully. Here's Chuck. And he checks that box quite well,
Oh yeah. Yeah.
repeatedly.
Honestly, the scene that got me with Chuck was obviously the physical altercation. And then during that, he's just like, I was decent to you. And I'm like, you're not being decent now.
No.
I
He's
don't
a
know.
little.
And also, decent sounds like bare minimum.
Yeah. Hey,
Yeah, he
in
was
the
like a
80s,
classic
that's what you
abuser.
got. You got the
The
bare minimum from guys. No.
bare minimum. I'm like, girl.
She was in Gremlins, by the way. It was, I got her name here, Frances Lee McCain. She
Oh,
played
okay.
Ethel McCormick, which that was the crazy thing. Out of the whole film, we only heard from his mom like maybe three times. And the
Yeah.
whole time it was like pictures of her looking at him like from a distance, like, oh, or oh. It was just all those. And she once came by, to interfere with it because it was crazy because it was another perfect example of like the toxic mindset of a traditional at that time being American household where the woman didn't really have much of a voice because they moved to that area and the mom hardly speaks a lick and it's his uncle or whoever his father-in-law is over his godfather is and he moves there and he's the one that's speaking up the whole damn time. So that it's kind of crazy that being a perfect reflection of Chuck being one. Ren, you mentioned it. They're like, oh, I treated you so well. That bullshit statement that he made there, which is a perfect reflection of that. I don't understand why you flinch when I hit you, kind of thing. And it's kind of just toxic concept of that. But that was a kind of a silent thing. She never really spoke up during the whole thing. But yeah, she was on Gremlins. I was kind of like immediately. I was like, wait a minute, is that the mom from Gremlins? Wait a minute, she understands. She understands. Oh no, she doesn't. Wait a minute, wrong movie. Wrong movie.
No, yeah, and I wonder if oh wow, one of John Lithgow's sons was in here and he really got his dad's jawline. I think like with Ren's mom, like they really never go into why they had to move there. And I
I
feel
mean,
like
he mentions in something saying that he thinks it's his fault and wants to blame he's the reason why the dad left. And the crazy thing is that, and I'm sorry to interrupt,
No,
Jen,
go for it.
the crazy thing that, and just to highlight of that, and just to what you're saying that they really don't mention anything else is when he tells his mom that he feels like he's the reason why dad left, she never really says it's not your fault. She just sits
Nope.
there. She's just like,
She's like,
Oh. And that's it. It's like classic therapy. And how does that make you feel?
No, yeah, exactly. I'm just like,
Okay. And I was just, I that kind of irked me in the film. I was like, wait a minute, aren't you gonna tell your son, no, you're not the reason why your father left? All you did was, how do you feel? Oh, you feel guilty. Okay, well, have a good night. That was like literally, I was like, what the hell? So I guess like it goes back to my complaint how certain things were highlighted and never fit. Like for example, when show his name's Chuck, that fucker, he hurt her. Now that not only he hurt her, and then when he goes up to Ren in the car conversation, her response his response is like, oh, I'm sorry you have to see this. And then he just talks about that's well like well maybe you should think your own way maybe you should just go in your own direction. I'm like never mind the fact that the chick has a big fucking black eye and a bloody fucking lip like I was like what the fuck. Like I understand that when people like you're gonna have the toxic masculinity people coming out like oh she shouldn't have hit him if she didn't want to be treated like that. That's beside the fucking point. Let's get that
Right.
toxic mindset and bullshit whatever they're going. I was like what the fuck. Like there were some unanswered things and once again I do think once again that is a perfect highlight of maybe a crappy edit. Who knows? I don't know. Or the fact that once again things like that were just looked over like it was nothing. In a sense too as well because I was that kind of irked me. I was like I'm glad you're he went to pick you up and everything but you nothing mentioned like okay one he mentions his mom that he thinks is a mental ill I'm the reason doesn't mention it two never mind the fact that she needs a stake over her eye and possibly stitches on her lip but hey it's okay let's start a prom so
Yeah, they really didn't flesh out Ren's mom very well in this. She was I thought maybe just, sometimes you fell on hard times, you had to go live with a relative. Maybe she had a DV situation and didn't want to tell Ren because she was ashamed, but like we don't know because they didn't give us anything to work
nothing.
on.
We'll wait for
Yeah.
Footloose 2. Kevin comes back to town.
I'm not
No.
sure
No,
most of the original cast is still
they're not.
alive
I
to be
was going to
in
say that was
Footloose
a really shitty
2.
suggestion on my part. So let's not go there because that's going to be really a dark place.
fun fact, Marcia Gay Harden, who is a very popular and well-known actress, was one of the dancers in this movie. I don't even remember her in it, but
Really?
yeah, this So we have established Footloose is definitely one of the better movies. Still, it holds up very well. But we are out of time for tonight to talk about Footloose. Not the greatest movie ever made, Star Lord. Sorry about that, but still a really great movie.
Still a good movie.
I appreciate Ren and Alex, my guests, so much tonight. You guys singing, talking in third person, all of
Ren, that
it.
was great. Ren, that was
Amazing.
so great.
Amazing.
I think Ren still has the best third person voice in all the
Yes.
shows so far. This is
That
great.
was, I know. We should get out of here before they drop punny on us. Quick. No.
Oh no.
Alex, tell people where they can find you.
Oh my gosh, if I'm not here speaking about shenanigans on the lovely channel here, you can find me at IAMCOWIE. That sounds like I am Cowie. That is on socials for Instagram. Also, I believe Alejandro Cowie, Alejandro Cowie. That will be on TikTok. And let's see. Oh man, archaic Facebook. It's still there, but I'm still there too as well. The only place you can't find me anymore is the X, so that's about it.
Awesome. Thank you. And Ren, where can we find you?
You can find me on Corpus Ren on all platforms, CORPUSREN.
Awesome. Perfect. And you can find me on Instagram. Yeah, it's still called that. do underscore as underscore Peggy says. You can also find me on Letterboxd, which is my new obsession, thanks to my son and Mike Flanagan's amazing review of Madam Web. Peggy says is my handle over there, and you can follow the adventures of my cosplay group, the West Coast Avengers. Not, I don't own it, but I am currently running it, and we
Nice.
are at California Avengers. We are getting ready to ramp up into the spring season. I have been Jennifer, and we have been Alex and Ren. Ren, Alex and Ren have been my guests. We have not been. See, now I'm speaking in all the persons. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Be sure to join our Discord to keep the conversation going, as well as subscribing to all platforms at Nom Talk Network. Tune in on Wednesday for our next show, which will be Blazing Saddles, and I can't wait to see you then to talk about that one. I'm your host, Jen, and you all have a nomerific day. Thank you so much. Chat, you were awesome as well.